So that's taken care of. And also Loretta grabbed me in the back also and said, hey, kid, remember that we all love you. And that meant a lot too before I got up here. This is important. I don't do this a lot, but I hope that what I have to say this evening will mean something to you. And the Word of God is never insignificant. And I truly believe that in my heart, and I hope you feel the same way. My life is going to change in a big way on August 10th. For me, it's going to be an exciting day. But I also realize that it's inevitable that there's going to be some sadness. I've already planned in my mind how the trip back from West Lafayette, Indiana, will probably be quiet and emotional. And you may or may not know, but what's going to happen on August 10th is that Angie Brooks and I will be taking Ellie to Purdue University to begin her college career. And it sounds weird to even say that. I don't feel like there's any way I could possibly be that old. It seems like about 2 years ago we were dropping her off at the Big Pencil outside of it. You know what the Big Pencil is. You elementary or Eagle Elementary people know what the Big Pencil is, but it seems like about 2 years ago that we were dropping her off at Eagle Elementary. And I know it wasn't 2 years ago because I actually had some hair. But I do know that the time has flown, and for us, that time has arrived. And so tonight I hope that you'll indulge me as I speak to our young people, especially our kids that will be going off to college in just a few days. And please don't worry, what I have to say will be something that any of us can use in our lives, but I want to primarily talk to you guys this evening, and I hope what I have to say can make a difference. I put together this slide, and I believe it's up behind me, and I tried to represent every college or university where our kids will be going away. I didn't see Marcus, but I figured there he is. I got your Rose Holman Fighting Engineers on there, which I thought I deserved something for that. But our kids are going to be going in a lot of different directions, and I think that this is such an exciting time. There's going to be so many new endeavors. There's going to be so many new friends, and there's going to be so many new challenges. And I'm excited for all of you. And whether you're heading off for the first time, because I know we have quite a few graduating seniors, or whether you're going back to school, there is so much excitement that comes with this time. And before I get into my lesson, and it will be brief, I'm just going to make four short points, but it is an exciting time, and I feel that as a father. I know Angie does as a mother. But I'll tell you a little story or an anecdote here as we think about this excitement to let you know. We received in the mail 2 weeks ago, it may have been 3 weeks ago, a letter from Purdue University telling us where Ellie was going to live, where her dorm was going to be as a freshman. Well, it turns out that Ellie and Brooks were in Seattle visiting their grandparents, so she wasn't even at home to receive the information. But I got home from work about 6 o'clock, and we looked at each other, and we said, do you want to go to West Lafayette for dinner? And so we jumped in a car and drove 50 miles to West Lafayette, Indiana. We parked our car on the east edge of campus at Harrison Hall, and we got out and we walked around for 2 hours. We walked around campus, and it was 90 degrees with humidity, and Angie told me what it was doing to her hair every second of the walk. But we literally walked for 2 hours, and if you know us, we wouldn't go walk when it was 90 degrees in sweltering heat. But we walked around the football stadium, we walked through the academic buildings and through the malls, and we did that because we're excited. We're excited for her, we were excited to see where she was going to be, and we looked like drowned rats at the end of the day, but we were excited for her. And I know that you guys are excited for your kids, for your friends, for your grandkids. And what I want to do this evening is I just want to make four quick points. Earlier, we had a reading from Proverbs, the third chapter. If you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles there, we'll begin there this evening. But I just want to give you four thoughts as you go. If you're not quite ready, they'll still make a difference in your life. But for those of you that will be leaving, I just want to make four quick points and hopefully provide you with a lot of encouragement about your future. Proverbs, the third chapter, in verse 5 and 6, says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I think the key word there is all your heart. And I think that you realize that that means more than just believing in God. What this is this means a complete trust in God, a complete reliance on God in every facet of your life. And I just want to encourage you to understand and realize right now that God has designed you, His creation, to be dependent upon Him. He's created us to rely on Him, and that's what He wants from us. That's what He's wanted from us from the beginning of time. If you want to turn to Psalms chapter 37, in Psalms 37, beginning in verse 3, and I'll read through verse 6, but it says here, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." And I just want to, well, I want to ask you, and I want to implore that even in your ordinary decisions, even in the most minute things that you do as you go, whether it's in the spiritual realm or the physical realm, God wants you to consult Him in everything that you do. He wants you to communicate with Him, whether it be your dating life, your schoolwork, your social life, your health. He needs to be involved in everything that you do. And let's be honest, that only happens one way, and that is through prayer. And I don't have that on the screen, but I think we all know 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that just says simply, pray continually or pray without ceasing. And I would implore you to do that. Make sure that your prayer life is in shape as you go off into college. Make sure you're committed and that you communicate with Him. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 8, in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, it says, "Then He called the crowd to Him along with His disciples, and He said, 'Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Me and for the gospel will save it.'" You're going to deal with new obstacles. You're going to deal with new pressures. You're going to deal with new freedoms and emotions. And again, I just implore you to involve Him in all of it. Don't leave God on the fringe. Make sure that He's in the middle of your life and all that you do. And as it says there, please understand that the gospel, and the gospel is Jesus Christ, will save your souls. And it's so important that you understand that. The second part from Proverbs 3 that I want to give to you this evening is to please not lean on your own understanding. There are so many talented, smart, and I'm prejudiced, but really good-looking kids sitting right up here. And we've watched you grow up for the most part. And that's a wonderful thing. And in fact, I was trying to think even earlier today, I think it was about 2007, maybe 2008, that I quit helping Ellie with her homework because I was lost. And so just with my own daughter, it's just been a special thing in how intelligent, and I know that's the case with all of you here. Morgan and I have had more than one conversation Jesse and Ellie and Ashley have been involved with the music department, which is about all that I've watched, and it's just shocking how talented, how much ability that these kids have, things that I almost can't fathom, things that I didn't have when I was younger. But you really do have the kind of ability to do anything. But there is a negative side to that. There is a downside to the kind of talent that you all have, and that is that there are times in our lives where we all think, mistakenly, that we know better than God. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, Proverbs 9:10 just says something that's real simple. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What I would say to you is use your mental prowess and your power. Education is a wonderful thing. I hope it is, because I just got the bill from Purdue. And I wouldn't pay that kind of money if I didn't think that it wasn't important. But again, I beg you not to lean on it for your full support. You will not find your ultimate contentment and fulfillment in this life through education. You can't find the answers to life in education. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and in a book that I love, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 11 and 12, Solomon says there that the words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned that the writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. And, you know, it's hard for you to understand right now because you're young and you're bright. You have the whole world in front of you. You can do whatever you want to do. But please understand that our own understanding, our own wisdom is weak. It's crooked, and many times it's unreliable. You can't come up with all the answers in this life on your own. And here's the thing. If you'll listen to me, if nothing else, please listen to this. You were never intended to come up with all the answers on your own. Proverbs 28:26 says simply that those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Walk in wisdom and make that decision right now. The third point is not a lot different maybe than number one, but submit to Him. And again, I would stress that make sure this is in every aspect of your life. Submit to Him in all of your ways and everything that you do. A scripture that I think Matt read this morning, and I'm going to read it again because I think it's that important, but from Mark 12 in verse 30, and what this is this was an answer when one of the teachers of the law asked Christ, what is the most important command? And in verse 30, he just says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Seek God in every situation and listen for His answer so you can be ready to act. And also understand that everything may not happen on your time frame. Many times God doesn't work on our schedules. James 4 in verse 13 through 16 is another passage that I love as we talk about our time frame compared to what God has in mind for us. But in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, he writes, Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city and we'll spend a year there or carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this and we will do that. And I love that statement. And it's a statement that I've tried to incorporate, maybe not as much as I would like, but learn to say that if it is the Lord's will. And the only way that you can develop that attitude of, if it's the Lord's will, the only way that that attitude can happen in your life is to have a deeply personal, intimate relationship with Him. That's the only way to have personal, intimate knowledge of each other. And I'm asking you to make this a priority as you move into the next phase of your life. And finally, my fourth point here from Proverbs 3 is that He will make your path straight. Life is unpredictable, and I'll tell you, when I went to college, I graduated with a communications, radio, television, film degree with a minor in history and psychology. I know that's convoluted. It doesn't really make any sense. It didn't then, but nobody stopped me. But I thought what I wanted to do more than anything was that I wanted to work in television. And that's what I wanted to do. But what was funny about my experience and when I graduated and as I went through my college career is it took about 6 months for me to change paths. I went to school at Indiana State University in Terre Haute. And I worked at WTHI, the CBS affiliate, for about 6 months. And that's how long that it took me to realize, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to work when everybody else is coming home. I don't want to work on the weekends. I don't want to work. I was working the 6 and 10 and 11 o'clock newscast. But I decided that wasn't for me. I lease fleets of trucks for a living. I really don't know anything about trucks, but God has provided for me, and He's blessed me in that endeavor. It's not at all where I thought I would end up. It's not at all where I thought that I would be. But Proverbs 19:21 says this, and again, it's very simple, that many are the plans in a person's heart, and I had a lot of plans. But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. The roads that we can go down, that you can go down, may be treacherous. They may be difficult. But you trust in Him to lead you. You trust in him for guidance and strength, and he will not disappoint you. Romans 8 and verse 26 through 28, and I think, again, that was another passage that we read already this morning, but it's another passage that is so comforting to me, and I hope it will be to you also. But in Romans chapter 8 and verses 26 through 28, Paul writes, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." And then 28 is a passage that I take such comfort in. And 28 just says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." Now, we have everything that we need in this world in those three verses. And it doesn't mean that you'll get everything that you want. It doesn't mean that you'll never face adversity. But what it does mean is that if you love him and you're loyal to him, you'll find peace, you'll find fulfillment, you'll find happiness, and ultimately you will find heaven. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, and I'll go ahead and read 19 also leading into 20, but in here he writes in Ephesians 3 verse 19, "And to know this love," or the love of Christ, "that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." And that is the God that we serve. That is the God that you serve, and that is what he can do with you. That is what he can do through you. That's really all I have to say this evening. This is an exciting time, and I would just say to you, and I do understand that not all of you are leaving over the next few days, but as I grow older, the book of Ecclesiastes means more and more to me. And when we moved over here a couple years ago, Mike and I taught Ecclesiastes and had many conversations about that book. But just to talk to you guys directly about that, the book of Ecclesiastes is a very unique book, because the book of Ecclesiastes focuses completely on life under the sun, what's taking place here on earth. That's the focus of the book. It's a unique book, but it deals with life as we live it here on this earth. And there's 12 chapters in that book, and I think it's interesting that when you go to chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, the first verse of the final chapter, chapter 12, just says this, and it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of evil come." And what we're talking about there isn't that things are going to go all bad and that you're going to deal with all these evil things. But what he's talking about there is, you remember your Creator in the days of your youth, because there will become a day where things aren't as easy as they used to be, where it's tougher to remember things. It's tougher to get up in the morning. It's tougher to do things that when you're young and aggressive is very easy. So save yourself the heartache and remember your Creator in the days of your youth. It'll save you heartache. It'll save you so many problems in your life. But also at the end of Ecclesiastes 12, that's what he says in 1, is to remember your Creator. And then in verse 8 in chapter 12, is the other theme of the book, is the author says, Solomon says, "Again, I say, vanity is vanity. Everything in this world is meaningless." And sometimes we think that what he meant by that is that everything in this world is just, it's brutal, it's ugly, there's nothing good about this world. And that's not what he's saying at all. But what he is saying is this, that living life under the sun, without God where he belongs in your life, without him being the focus of your life, is a dead-end proposition. It'll be a miserable existence. He knew it. He found it out the hard way. And that's so important for you guys to understand right now. That life without God where he belongs will be tough. Will be a tough, miserable existence. And that isn't what you want for yourselves. And that's not what we want for you either. And then he finishes Ecclesiastes 12 with a verse that I know you guys all know. And that is in verse 13, that Solomon says, when everything's been heard, when everything you read, your education, when everybody's chimed in on what they think is best, that the conclusion of the matter is this, that you fear God and you keep his commandments, because that's the whole duty of man. And so I'm just going to leave you with that. I think you're all going to do great. And I can tell you, I know I've talked to them, and I apologize, I haven't made a lot of eye contact anywhere else, but I know that everybody else here is rooting for you, wants to see you do well, and most of all wants to see you serve God. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. So that's what I have to say this evening. Good luck. You're all going to do great. I know that. I know I haven't talked a lot about the gospel, Christ, that is the only way to go to the Father. But if there is anything that we can do this evening, if you haven't put on Christ, if you haven't repented and confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God, if you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, we can do that tonight. That's the only way to salvation is through Christ. That is the gospel. That is the good news. If you have done that and then you've wandered away, we would be glad to help you with that also. So if there's anything that we can do for you this evening, please come forward as we stand and sing.